This is the fourth session, and I plan taking God to school today. And then we'll continue on Thursday, like that, till 29th of May. On the 29th of May, we'll have two other sessions, so see how we can have people. Amen. Amen. This one, three sessions. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. Concerning spirituals. So I have told us that if looking at Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, if you watch Paul's writing to them, all his responses to them was the scriptures. Amen? Was the scriptures. He wasn't writing morals at all to them. He wasn't writing morals to them at all.
Glory to God.
So, which we said the background is actually what? Walking in the flesh. You may should be able to write this one. The background will be working in the flesh. Hallelujah. Division, strife. Oh, I wanted to say unbelief, but it's not unbelief. Division, strife, envy, working in the flesh. Hallelujah. And what did we say about the believer who works in the flesh? His conduct is not different from an unbeliever, right? Though he's saved. Never forget that caveat. He is saved. It doesn't mean he's not saved. He's still saved. But in conduct, he behaves like an unbeliever. Conduct is like an unbeliever. So, that said, we said the Bible opens up in the supernatural world. Right? Opens up in the supernatural world. And that the earth is an interplay of both worlds, both the physical and the supernatural world, or both the natural and the supernatural. Now, the earth is also used to refer to a supernatural place. The earth is used to refer to a supernatural place. Genesis chapter 4. Quickly, Genesis 4. The earth is used to refer to a supernatural place. Genesis 4. I'll take you to verses 14. Now, this is Cain to God. It says, behold. Behold. Come on. Is it that she didn't know that you're in church? Hope it's consistent with talks. Eh? Okay. So the earth. Now, verse 14, it says, behold, thou hast driven me this day from the face of the earth. Did you see that? The face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid. So what does it call? What does it call the face of the earth? The face of God. Did that? Go forward. And from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in all the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Did you see that? So, when you hear the word fugitive and vagabond, that will be Genesis 1-2. So, like I said to us, you have to look at again, what will be, if you hear fugitive and vagabond, and you are thinking fugitive and vagabond will mean you will be walking up and down on the road and in the streets, you will miss that. Did you see that? Because you will be reading your word into their world. Because fugitive and vagabond, I think his sense will have gone away. You will just be walking up and down. Yet, the Bible says that Cain became a rich guy. Cain was very wealthy. So where is the fugitive and the vagabond then? That would be Tohu Wabohu. Did you see that? Darkness. I hope you're following me. You will be the girl. So that would be Genesis 1-2. So he says, now that would be the effect of what unbelief. Genesis 1-2, fugitive and vagabond. Hallelujah. Then he says, from thy face. Did you see that? from thy face shall I be hid. So from thy face there, that's what he calls the earth.
Driving me this day away from the earth. Away from the earth doesn't mean he's now going to be in outer space. Away from the earth will be what? The face of God. So therefore, showing you that the earth is used to refer to a supernatural location, or call it a supernatural, put it that way, a supernatural place. So we call the earth God's face. Did you see that? So that means, anytime you find the word earth, you're going to ask yourself, what is he using it to refer to? Hope I hear it again. That's the question you ask yourself, what is he referring to?
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So you have to say, what is it used to refer to? The earth is used to refer to God's presence. Is it to refer to God's presence? Is it to refer to the cosmos? Is it to refer to man? We explore it. Hallelujah. So that's what earth. And it's two words I use to explain the word earth. Adama and what? Eretz. So those are the two words. So explore all that as we proceed. So, like we said earlier, the way Moses will write heaven was not a distant location from the earth, right? Was that what we said? So it will be in the same place, and the earth will be the interplay of both the natural and the supernatural, right? And we also said that the spirit is given to man so that he can effectively interact between both worlds. Let's get back to Genesis 1 quickly. So, when it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, this is, if this refers to, let's look at that again, if this refers to man, which is the earth there, right? The first of man, the heart of man, then the heavens and the earth, which is God and man. That means God's plan is for all the earth, did you see that? To be his heaven. That is why he will not say to man, his man, in Genesis 1:28, to multiply and replenish the earth. Did you see that? Replenish the earth there will not be biology. No, replenish the earth will be what? This kind, heaven and earth, will not happen to all men. Did you see that? All men. So that will be the whole earth will be his heaven. The whole earth will be his tabernacle, his dwelling place. Did you see that? His dwelling place. Hallelujah. So the God's plan is the whole earth. The whole earth. And yeah, earth here will refer to man, the heart of man. Because when you get to verses 2, when it says the earth will start from man, what is referring to the heart of man? So God's plan is for the whole earth. Do you see that? The whole earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Moses will show that using the what? The tabernacle. Right?
The tabernacle will be found where? In the earth. Will show heaven and earth will be in the same place. Do you see that? For sure, we will find it here. And not just heaven and earth will be in the same place. He's also showing you that the supernatural will be within the earth. You see that? Or you put the spiritual will be within the earth. Hope you're following me here. Will be within the earth. So in the same place. So when I get to Genesis 1:2 and it says, form and void. Form and void. The question is, what is he referring to? The earth is without form and void. Someone said, you know, yes, we say is without form and void will mean darkness, right? Perfectly well said. But it goes beyond just darkness. Though it's darkness. Amen? This is the word form and void. It will show you the state of man without the spirit. It is form and void. And remember, I told us when we were answering the question of patriarchal and feminism, where is God? We said Moses was answering a question in their world. Was that what we said? He was answering a question in their world. Why still writing theology? So theology was the major reason why he wrote. Right? Remember, I told us there is a reason behind the reason why they wrote. There was an immediate reason, but there is a reason behind the reason. So the reason behind the reason is theology. Yes, scriptures answer the direct questions of their world. Hope you're hearing me. Was asking a direct question in their world. And it points them back to God. And it says what? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the sea. Glory to God. So he went further to describe the tohuwa bohu, which is void, without form and void. He went to describe that darkness. But let's take a few and look at that word. Hallelujah. Darkness. Form and void. But before that, so when he says form and void, there's not form and void, that is, he shows a problem. And that problem is not money. That problem is not fuel scarcity or subsidy. That problem is not election. One was asking me yesterday, I told the person, let me put this like this, everybody here. How many of them can tell him, he was telling me about how I would tell him things that were already in his mind, wanted to talk to me about before he even says it. And he now went further to now say things like, I guess we talked about prayer to a point. Something around, he now said, we went ahead to start talking about Nigeria, how he gathered people to pray for the country. I now said, okay, the problem of Nigeria, let me tell you the truth, I told you, before, Nigeria is not election. It's not election. I told him who I supported. For shock, he said, God told him I was supposed to be someone else. And everybody else knows the person he was supposed to be. Amen. But lo and behold, the person didn't even come second. And he that came third is the one that fights, the one that came first, and the second is moving and looking. What a country. Matching actually. Amen. So, where were we? So, and I said, most times when we pray in your backing. I was looking at Isaiah. I said, you must always, because I told him that it's good to have a good prayer life, but make sure you balance it with the word of God. Because he was telling me about some things that the Lord, that he said the Lord told him. Well, those things were wonderfully wonderful. You know when you say some things, when I tell you, when I say those things are wonderfully wonderful. So, if those are not things you tell him, you hope you heard well. Wisdom over time has taught me to always apply it in the right places and at the right time. So, I was very, very, very careful not to say anything that will make him lose his deal. Because that is the worst place you can ever do. That is the worst thing you can ever do to any believer, to make him lose their deal for God. Do you understand? To make them lose their zeal for God. So, what I just did was, very simple. I went back to the leading of the Spirit I taught us during COVID year. I told you, your mind, this is again, your mind in how you receive God's leading. You see that? And it doesn't then mean that God was, and this can actually worry, it's also for us too, says that your mind is how you receive God's leading. And it doesn't necessarily mean, that God didn't speak to you rightly. It's how you decode it that matters. Listen to that. Amen. God doesn't help you that the how you receive God's leading is to the extent in which you've trained your mind. You can't receive God's leading beyond it. Is to the extent in which you have changed your mind. So that means you have a duty to change your mind. Because he was trying to ask me if his vision or what the Lord told him was right. Am I the angel of his presence? No. Do you understand this? There are some things I cannot dabble into. Am I God? I'm just one little boy.
Please take her inside, please. I think I should just stay inside.
Please. Until she sleeps.
Okay. So, I wonder how quiet this place now is.
So, where was I? So I was like, asking me if what the Lord told you is true. Or if that I should know, I should actually give more light. Can I give more light? When the light you have is not sufficient, I should not give you more light. So I just said, what is there is simple.
You just have to train your mind. Because I can't say anything. Because the Lord called him to do, he said something about deliverance and things, and he has helped me teach about deliverance in 2019. I said that the Lord told you, follow the Lord. But you have to renew your mind. Do you get me? So I gave him instances in scriptures of how your mind needs to be renewed.
Yes.
God will always speak to you. Do you get me? But how you receive that leading is vital. And your mind is so, just like Paul would say, you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you have that duty to renew your mind with his word. So we now got into the talk of prayer. And I said, you can't, I told him that. And I was very frank. I said, I don't pray for Nigeria. I was shocked. I don't. If I'm to pray for Nigeria, I'll pray for the lost, because scripture gives us a format to pray for the lost, for the saved, right? For the saved, the ministers, and for the growth of God's word. Do you understand me? Eh? What is it? Is it not believers? Is there anything called leaders? So, for the growth of God's word. Do you understand me? So, you are just looking at that. Those are instructions you have for the scriptures to pray for. So he now looked at me and said, you don't believe in God's agenda for Nigeria. There is not only agenda. It's gender now. It's not only agenda. I said, no, God has a special agenda. I said, the only special agenda God has on Nigeria is the same agenda he has for the whole world. You see that? It's the same agenda for the whole world. This is my agenda. All men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And if I'm to pray for places like Boko Haram and the likes, I pray for believers that are there. Do you get me? So the reason why I pray for a ceasefire is because of the believers that are there, that the gospel have free course. Do you see that? I'm glorifying that region. Sir, are you not praying? So what agenda am I praying for? If I pray for Nigeria, I pray for the growth of the world. Do you get me? I pray for the growth of the world. I pray for God's wisdom, all truth, believers. Amen? I pray for God's word. I pray for God's word. If I pray for the politicians, the leaders, I pray for wisdom. God's wisdom to them, right? But you know what? Politicians will be politicians. Amen? There's no sense among politicians. When I mean sense, you know what I mean? Instead of stomach infrastructure. You think if he gets there, he will not give contract to him? We don't want him in contract. It's the man of God. The purpose he gives will never be success to your mouth. Not give you 30 billion in that project. It's just set to your mouth. Yeah. You know, you speak in tongues. When the righteous are in power. The people rejoice. I think the righteous in power is... So the guy was, he was just surprised. I said, yeah, I pray for Nigeria. In fact, I said, I pray more for my local church. That's it. Pray more for my local church. That's the most important thing, because that's how God reaches the whole earth. You're not done praying for your local church. You're not done praying for yourself. You're praying for agenda. Which agenda? I said, see the agenda you're talking about? I spoke about it earlier. the gospel came from the white man to Africa. So now, two countries, I've heard of that thing. Two countries in Africa, South Africa and Nigeria, do not take the gospel again.
Yes.
Which scripture is that?
The same way you are farming in the Lord. The same way I know people who are farming in Zambia. I know people who are very farming in Kenya. They are very farming in... So, what is the agenda in Nigeria? God is not partial now. It's the same agenda everywhere. The agenda did not change. All men saved. Don't change it. No, the upcoming revival that will sweep.
Okay. That revival is all men saved.
Yeah?
All men
saved. Come to me. Okay, amen. But, so, how did I even get to this place? So the problem with man is not money. The problem with man is not subsidy. It's not, it's not political party. There's no palliative. The problem with man is supernatural. Spiritual, supernatural.
Form and
void. Spiritual. We're going to see that.
That becomes the origin of man's problem. Do you see that? The origin. Remember I told you.
Yes, but those of you who have listened to us, yes, sir. I told you, yes, sir, that man's problem is not first material. Man's problem is first spiritual.
Man's problem is not spiritual.
Those of you who are by peradventure seen that book, understanding authority is there. Amen. Man's problem is first spiritual.
If you don't get to see that, you won't see the you won't see, I'm going to be telling you this, so you won't see the joy of evangelism. Man's problem is first spiritual. So you must see man first the way God sees it.
Okay, you know there is the joy of evangelism. Some people don't know. You see, evangelism is, you are scratching your head.
It's because you are not seeing men the way God sees them. If you see men the way God sees them, there is that joy to want to reach out to them because you know you have the answer. The answer is not in money, it's not in, no, it's in God. The answer is God.
Amen?
Okay, you know. The answer is God. God is the answer. You see people going to clubs, chasing after what they shouldn't chase after. You think, they did not train their way. No, it's not about training their way. Amen. Amen.
It's not about training their way.
It's about seeing that the answer is God. There's that vacuum in man. And the only thing that fills it up is God. Until that vacuum gets filled up, I've always told you, there's that hunger and thirst in man. I've always said this years back. Yes, back at Starbucks and Stan at 6:27. Yeah, there's that hunger and taste in man that makes him feel empty. Empty. You see there, they jump to from smoking weed to there's no satisfaction. There is no satisfaction. They are never satisfied. Never! Never satisfied. I think the problem is morals. No, it's not morals. I know people whom they gave serious home training. The home training is inside the bush. They don't do, there's no home training. Forced. The answer forced is what God. So that is the joy of evangelism, that you know that the answer to man's problem is in your mouth. The answer to man's problem has been given to you as the scriptures. God is the answer. Did you see that? So then you know you have the answer. You know you have the answer. So you go to meet them with that solution. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we have the solution.
We have the solution.
Hallelujah. Amen. So he uses the word for who abohu. the world soul. You find it in Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. That's the word to who? Deuteronomy 32, 10. I need you to, and I need us to read from verse 8.
I need you to see Genesis 1, 2 here. You're going to read from verse 8. In my Bible, I've actually reconstructed my center reference.
I do that a whole lot.
Amen. In other words, it says the Most High, and when the Most High divided the nations, when the Most High divided to the nations, okay, let's start from verse 7. Remember the days of old. So consider the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers. Is that ask thy fathers that had brought thee, has he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam and sent the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of God.
The Bible wrote Israel, but it's actually God. And the reference there is where Genesis chapter 11. When he built the Tower of Babel, he says the Most High set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of God.
Do you see that? Amen. Say, for the Lord's portion is his people. Say, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
Let's do this related song.
Amen. Amen. It says, where am I? Verse 10. It says, he found him in a desert. Read it. I'll start from verse 9 again. So the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, the lot of his inheritance. Now, say, he found him in a desert land. That Genesis 1, 2? We're going to see that. That is desert land. And in the wastes, howling wilderness. That's the word there. So who is the word there? Waste.
This is the word waste.
He led him about. That is Genesis 1, 2 you are reading. Say, he led him about. He instructed him and kept him as the apple of his eyes. Hope you are saying that. That's Genesis 1, 2. He continues again in verse 11. He says, as an eagle stirred up her nest, flooded over her young, spread abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. That's Genesis 1, 2. So the Lord alone did lead him, that there was no strange God with them, and there was light. That is where there was light. You see that? There was no strange God with them. That is the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that word tohu there is the word waste. Waste, howling wilderness. Waste. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. 1 Samuel 12, 21. If you're there, I'm going to read. I'll start from verse 20. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. That says verses 21. It says, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit. That's the word vain things. You cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. This is that, use it twice. Vain. It's called there vain. Job 6. Job 6. Verses 18. This is, the path of their ways are turned aside. They go to nothing and perish. That's the word nothing. Nothing.
So the word for wu is not used to anything proper. You see that? Nothing proper. Waste, vain, nothing. Let's look at something in verses chapter 12. Job 12. From verse 4. I mean verse 24. You see, it is 34. It says, he taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causes them to wander in the wilderness, where there was no way. Did you see that? Look at that. He says, taketh away the chief of the people of the earth, and causes them to wander. That is the word to wander. To wander. Like, there is like chaos. Cause them to wander in the wilderness. Hallelujah. Cause them to wander in the wilderness. Where there was no way. Mark that word, no way. 25. They grope in darkness without light. And he makes them to stagger like a drunken man. Did you see that? So, what do you have as to who is actually chaos. Did you see that? Chaos. He repeats it again in Psalms. I mean, okay, let's get to chapter 26 of Job. Oh, I can't really get to see. Job 26, verse 4, right? What is this? Second. The short one, let me go on to it. Okay, verse 7. Job 26:7. It says, he stretched out the knot over the empty place. That's what empty. And hanged the earth upon nothing. You see that? Empty place. Empty. Chaos. Psalms 107 verse 40. Psalms 107 verse 40. So that is the same with Job 12:24. He said he poured contempt upon the princes and caused them to wander in the wilderness where there was no way. So the wander in the wilderness, that is, it shows chaos, it shows confusion. The wander in the wilderness where there was no way. So to just go up and down, up and down, up and down, doing nothing. There was no way. Did you see that? Now let's see the word bohu. Bohu is only used three times in Old Testament writings. Old Testament books. You have it in Isaiah chapter 34. So, yeah, Isaiah 34, quickly. Verses 11. It says, but the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also, and the raven shall dwell in it, and he that stretch out in the line of confusion, that's the word confusion, and the stone of emptiness. So that's the word confusion. Confusion. Jeremiah 4 verse 23. Jeremiah 4 verse 23. Are you there? You see, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, that they had no light. Did you see that? When they say heaven, they know it's not the sky. It's talking about there was no light at all. Everywhere was dark. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the word bohu there is used for emptiness in a state of ruin.
the state of ruin, the state of confusion.
So the word tohuwabohu
is used for chaos, for disorder, for what is not proper. What is not proper. You see that?
So, verify that.
Chaos. What is not proper.
So like we said in the last section, God now offers himself. You see that?
As the answer. God offers himself as the solution to the problem of man.
Hallelujah.
And that answer is what? The Spirit.
Right?
The Spirit. Is that the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
Is that the Spirit?
Yes.
That's the Spirit. The answer is the Spirit. The answer is the Spirit. So that means, and he calls the Spirit Boo. Boo. The light. Boo. Boo. That is proper. 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 Amen. If we get to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 2, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. Reason? It's not good. Genesis 2, 18. It says, not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him help. I'll make him unhealthy. It is not good. Watch that word. It is not good. It is not proper. Is that for man to be alone? Now, when he used the word healthy there, he was referring to himself as God. Is that? So man being alone is not good. Man being alone is tohu abohu, not proper. Chaos. I love what Pastor Shekhu will say. Pastor Shekhu will say, man without God is on self-destruct. On a self-destruct mission. Self-destruct. So why is he on a self-destruct? See, let me tell you. Man on his own is autopilot to self-destruct. So the fundamental issue is not man not having ideas or man not doing things right. The sense of no. The major issue is man not having the Spirit. So that's what Moses did to them when he pointed out to them darkness. And answering question in their world, he said there's darkness. He said their attitude is darkness. But the answer is God. The answer is not even, let's say, okay, morals. No. The answer is not, okay, let's change the culture. No. That is not the answer. The answer is false God. You see that? The answer is false the Spirit. That is order. Order starts somewhere, the Spirit.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me.
The Spirit. That's order. So that means we could say what God is doing in Genesis chapter 1 is he's putting things in order. And it is what? The Spirit, the new man. He's putting things in order. He shows you man without order. It's not good for man to be alone. So for God to say it's not good for man to be alone, not referring to a woman, it means that man without God is operation, is mission death, is mission destruction. Man is on a mission of destruction without God. Self-destruct. It's not a joke. Man is on self-destruct without God.
I don't need God. You are gone. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you hear me. Because every decision man will ever make without God.
Okay. Amen.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Let's see a couple. Okay, small. So God began to put things in order.
And not putting things in order, which will be proper, will be force the Spirit.
Right? The Spirit. Will that be a new beginning?
New beginning?
The kingdom?
That will be it.
Hope you follow him.
Hallelujah.
So what did he do afterwards? Genesis 1. We're here before. Verse 4. He says, and God saw the light that it was good, and he did what? He divided the light from the darkness. Now when he used that word divide, hallelujah. Now he began to separate, right? Light on darkness. Now take note, he did separate light from darkness before he said let there be light. Or before he called himself as light. He first of all called himself as light, then he began to separate. You see that? That is the order. First of all is the spirit before the separation. There must always be a separation. But it's first of all was the spirit. You see that? Amen? Amen? Because there's no way you can do a separation when there was no light. So before you begin to think like there's no light and then you now put on light, all the darkness now runs away. Yes, it looks like it, but that is it. But afterwards, there was a separation. Amen.
Mm.
So that becomes something we have to look at very well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now that word divide, yeah, is the word in the Hebrew, badal. Badal.
It's the word used to separate, to sort out. The way you sort out something. You sort out, like you're sorting out the beam from the shaft. Do you get me? You are sorting it out. You are taking it out. Amen. So that word began to sort out. It began to separate light from darkness. I'll put it this way. We have to separate light from darkness. But I thought light is shining in darkness. It is. It is. That's the first order. The next is to separate them. And that will be works. There is a thing to separate light from the works of darkness. That's what God was doing.
Hallelujah.
Light from the works of darkness. You can put it this way. That is the walking in the spirit from walking in the flesh. Walk of the spirit from that of darkness. God was doing separation. Separating the walk of the spirit from that of darkness. You see that? Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And that is what Moses is calling order. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So just like what Moses has written, we're going to find it all through Moses' writing into the epistles, is that after we receive the Spirit, we must begin to divide. Amen. Or after you receive the Spirit, there should be a dividing. Walking in the Spirit. That is it. Dividing. Walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is order. Order. Hope I heard it. This is what? Order. Order. So it's the light first. And remember, when he was doing this dividing, he had not made the sun, the moon, and the stars. There was no greater light to rule the day. And there's no light to rule the night. Or not the day, not any of it. Hallelujah. So you know that what we're talking about is spiritual. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in the Spirit. Hope you are with me.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hope you are with me. So therefore, we say the Spirit of God brings order. It brings order. So it starts with the Spirit, then walking in the Spirit. So, can I have the Spirit and not have done the divider in my actions? Yes. That was what was happening to the church at Corinth. Isn't it? And like Paul was saying in chapter 3 verse 1, I mean verse 1, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. What does it mean as unto spiritual? Genesis, I mean, 1 Corinthians 2 verses 12, he says, you have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Isn't that? So that is, I couldn't speak to you as who you are. You already have the Spirit. Genesis 1, 2. I mean Genesis 1, 3. And there was light. He saw that the light was good. But you've not done the next thing. You've not begun to separate. Okay, hallelujah. So the separation there will be, first of all, is going to flow from what you have received. Okay, Yerubi. What have you received? The Spirit. So, because I received the Spirit, Paul will now say, okay, we'll get in there.
Let me not jump.
Amen. So you answer the other. Amen. So you just like saying, we'll get there to where we'll talk about holiness. He said, you can't talk about holiness without you being holy. Did you see that? So it will start, you must watch how the process, the flow is first what you receive, then to now show your works.
Hope you're following me now.
Yes. All of you receive the Spirit. Because you receive the Spirit, you cannot walk in the Spirit.
Amen? But can you receive the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit? Yes! Amen? Amen?
Amen.
So that means I can receive the Spirit and not divide the Spirit. Okay, let me put it this way. I might receive the Spirit and just be careful so I don't say something that someone will pick me at the meat and say, what is he saying? Dividing the Spirit. I might receive the Spirit and then not do the separation. Hallelujah. In my conduct. So that means when he said God began to separate the life of the darkness, that will be conduct. Amen.
That will point to conduct. But what will happen first?
The Spirit receives, right?
Then you cannot apply the conduct.
Hope you're following me.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
So Moses also did similar things. When he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, remember that will be salvation.
That will be into the land, right? Through the wilderness. Right? Would that be a new beginning? Would that be a new beginning? Would that symbolize the Spirit, salvation? Right? The land will be the Spirit, right? Okay, let's see something. Okay. So what did he then do later? Immediately after they left, go to the wilderness. What did Moses do?
Moses gave them instructions. He gave them what we call Ten Commandments. The commandments.
Right?
Hallelujah. He gave them instructions. That would be separation. Separating the light from the darkness.
Where were they coming from? Egypt.
Egypt, where they've seen you walk in the dark, walk in the flesh.
Amen.
And now we have to separate it.
Don't you follow me?
He didn't start doing moral first. No. It was a taking out. First of all, there's a taking out. Then there's a separation.
Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, like we said before now the wilderness today should be what? How we walk in the earth. Was that what we said? So the wilderness will work in the wilderness should be how they will walk in the earth. Right? Walk in the earth. Because they are delivered ones. So they are in the wilderness. There's an attitude they must have in them. There's a conduct that they must portray. Hallelujah. So Paul picks that in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Verses 6. Okay, verses 5. You say, but outside from... okay. From verse 4. It says, they all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them and the rock was Christ. Say, but many of them God was not pleased, for they were thrown in the wilderness. Say, now these things are examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Say, neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people stood to eat and drink and rose up to play. I mean, start down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell 1,000, that means 3,000 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed by the serpent. Neither murmur, as also murmur, but they were destroyed by the destroyer. Is that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, so they happened to them as examples, and reason for admonition, upon which the ends of the earth have come. Hallelujah.
And when you say ends of the earth there, it is referring to the ages have come. And that will be salvation in Christ. Amen. Hope you're following me. So Paul picked that and says we shouldn't commit adultery, murmur, tempt the Lord as they did. We are in the wilderness. So that means that shouldn't be found within them in the wilderness. Why? Because they are delivered ones. So they shouldn't carry the same attitude of the Egyptians. Did you see that? Did you see that? So they've been delivered. So that means they will not have to divide, separate the works of darkness in their works. And how will they separate it? walking in the Spirit. Did you see that? Walking in the Spirit. Paul put it this way. You walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
So when Paul said walk in the Spirit, that would be Genesis 1:3. How about saying that? Walk in the Spirit. When I say walk in the Spirit, is it walk as who you are?
Yes.
Is it walk in the light? Yes. Is it the separation? Yes.
How about for living?
Walk in the Spirit. But with Genesis 1:3, dividing light from darkness.
That will be works. Hope you are following me.
That will be works.
I hope we do the right thing for Moses. That is an order. There's an order. Walk in the Spirit because you receive the Spirit. Because the right thing, when you say walk in the Spirit, that will be Galatians. Galatians, that should be chapter number. Galatians. Is this 6 now or 5? Thank you, Google. Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit. Yes, Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit and you cannot fulfill the loss of the flesh. Before then, in Galatians 3:3, he has said to them that you haven't, I said, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? In the end, he says, haven't begun in the Spirit. Did you see that? So he tells them that, hey, they started in the Spirit. So he reminds them, they started in the Spirit. That are you not being made perfect in the flesh? So what is happening? Paul is dealing with conduct. He says, have you begun in the Spirit? Are you not being made perfect in the flesh? That means you started in the Spirit. So why are you not dividing the works of the flesh? Why are you not separating it? Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it's a shock when a believer doesn't do it. Say, have you begun in the Spirit? I say, have you begun in the Spirit? Are you not being made perfect in the flesh? No. That means that order should be there. From the Spirit, you divide the works of the flesh. You separate the works of the flesh by walking in the Spirit. Isn't that? Moses will also do the same thing. Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus 20. Hope you're understanding me. Hope you're understanding this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's enough strength. He said, "As thou wast, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make for thyself a graven image, or likeness of anything that is in the heaven, or earth, or is earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am thy Lord God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that love me. Say, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment." Watch that. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. So he has spoken from verse 1 to 6 about what? To keep my commandment, faith in the Lord. Then, can you see the order too? Can you see the order? Faith in the Lord, 1 to 6. Then he now begins to talk about their works. What will be the work? That will be work in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. What is? That's what he did for verse 6. Hallelujah. Amen. They see you will, you say, there is Sabbath day to keep it holy. See the day shall labor and do all their works, and on the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord, there shall do no work. Look at verse 12, say, honor thy father and mother, and the day of the Lord, that the days may be long, that sin thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So it goes ahead and it lasts. Jesus says, what is the great commandment of the Lord? It says, faith in the Lord, right? Right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first commandment. It says, and the second that comes to you is loving the Lord as yourself. That is walking in the Spirit. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That is a summary of the institute. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So, you will find that in Moses' words, and that will be order. Moses was talking about order. To find out order through Moses' words, faith in the Lord, and then walking in the Spirit. Let me close that down.
Hallelujah.
I'm walking in the Spirit.
Now, Moses will prefigure it.
This walking in the Spirit and separating the and dividing the works of darkness or dividing the works of the flesh. To separate it by using food.
Or use food to do that.
Eating
unclean food or unclean meat. Moses will prefigure with use of unclean meat. So Moses will not give them food to eat and not to eat. They cannot meet no food.
Amen. And you find that in Deuteronomy 14,
from verses 1 to verses 16.
Yeah. A lot of times. I read that at home. So before you think, I'm always saying you should not eat a certain kind of meat. Because the part of those meat there is the dog is not there. The dog wasn't there at all. At least goat is there. Although dog there. So before you think, Moses was talking about food. You should not eat this food. At least one of your pastors there has eaten snake. Amen. Very soon now this one will be shubo. You know a shubo? No a shubo. Yeah, you know a shubo.
You need to walk to one day. No.
They go for beat.
They go for beat. I reject it. I bind it and cast it.
I cast it.
Because they go. Moses said we shouldn't eat those kind of meats. Moses said we shouldn't eat this kind of meat. And these are the same people that will not tell you, Moses, my servant, is dead. And yeah, they will not eat some meat. They still have Moses somewhere in their heart.
Yeah.
So before you think Moses is telling them not to eat a certain kind of food, don't worry. Next time we're going to get to dressing.
So Moses will use all of this to prefigure what he has told them. Walking in the flesh.
Walking in the Spirit. I'm not fulfilling the laws of the flesh.
Yeah.
Get to dressing. So before you think Moses is telling them, do not eat meat. Don't eat dog. Don't eat pork.
Who would like pork? I've not eaten that thing.
Well, it's pork, right? It's very oily.
Don't eat
guinea fowl. Don't eat this. Don't eat bush meat. Amen. That is what Moses said. But that's what Moses said. Moses, because in their world, look at what you have here. In their world, animals. In fact, so he told that Moses also told them animals not to touch. Though there are some animals you don't touch.
Yeah.
You don't touch them. And it's all pointing, we're going to see that shortly. It's all pointing to walking in the Spirit. They don't have to touch animals. Hallelujah. Because in their world, some animals are used to signify holy. Animals are used to signify holy and unholy things. Animals. In fact, you're not supposed to eat a wild animal. You're not supposed to eat a wild animal.
Someone was giving a joke one time. He said, there's an animal that used to be a domestic animal, but then now a wild animal. And which animal? Why did the first dead animal become wild? They said because the animal basically ate bullies.
And then shall we get this?
Whenever I think about that, I just say ate bullies and
and that is another animal. I don't want to mention it. It says absolutely. The other animal is being killed every time by its predators. Then now it goes kissing. Very funny. That animal is not wild at all. And even a goat is more stubborn than an antelope.
You're not supposed to eat the wild animal. I don't have that history in my head of whether yes, go
eat anything. Can I eat anything? But you were not supposed to eat. But most of you are eating wild animals. Don't know dog is wild animal.
You are eating at the domestic. You are eating at me. You look at dog, you see and the bathroom. Amen. Amen.
So animals are used to show holy and unholy things. You see that? So you are supposed to separate yourself. Amen.
So the unclean food will point to unclean works of darkness. The people that were with Moses understood what Moses was doing. So when Moses said you shouldn't eat it, they are not eating it so that they would have a remembrance of that teaching. You see that? There will be a damn remembrance of that teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah will put it this way. Isaiah chapter 52, quickly.
Isaiah 52. Are you there? Verses 12. It says, okay, I'll start from verses 10. So the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Do you see that? I said, depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from hence. Touch no unclean thing. Did you see that? Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye. Did you see that? Be ye clean. That bear the vessels of the Lord. Did you see that? Be ye clean. Will that be walk in the Spirit? Will that be walk in the Spirit? Be ye clean. Why? Because you bear the vessel of the Lord. Okay, follow me. Now verses 11. Verses 12, it says, for ye shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before thee, and the God of Israel shall be your reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you see that.
Hallelujah.
Touch no unclean thing. Be ye clean. That will be ye clean, will be ye holy. Why? And I gave you the reason. He said, for you bear the vessel of the Lord. Just like saying you are already holy. By default. Hallelujah. You have the Spirit of God.
Now let's quickly rush through 2 Corinthians, the same Corinthians. Paul picks Isaiah's words.
Isaiah's words will be the words of Moses. Hope you can see. Was that for Moses? Right? Touch no unclean thing. Is that Moses? Come out from them. Come out from them. Is it from the world? Yes. Come out from them doesn't mean you now leave the world and go somewhere else. So come out from them will be, don't be like the world. Leave the works of the flesh. Did you see that? To come out from the works of the flesh. Because you bear the vessels of God. Look at how Bible, look at how writers of scripture put it. Because you bear the vessel of the Lord.
Or you put it this way, because you are the vessel of the Lord. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. Because of who you are. So because of what has happened to you in Christ, right? You have to come out from them.
That will be conduct. That will be conduct. Hallelujah. So Paul writes that to the children, to the church in Corinth. Word for word. Let's see how Paul will explain it in 2 Corinthians 6. Let's start from verse 14. It says, and be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Did you see that? He was not right talking to unbelievers, they were talking to believers. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Would it be conduct? Would it be conduct association? Right? Conduct association?
Okay. Let's go ahead. He
now says this. For what fellowship has righteousness with righteousness? And what communication has light with darkness? Did you see that? So that means, so yeah, God communication has light with darkness is taking you back to Genesis. The separated light from darkness. I hope you are seeing that. Okay. And say, and what comfort has Christ with Bibia? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? That's it. And what agreement has the temple of God with idol? For ye are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah.
As God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk with them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We explore this in the subsequent teachings.
Hallelujah.
Is that what we're looking at? Wherefore?
Verse 17.
Wherefore? Now look at what he said in verse 16.
What? You are the temple of God. Then say, wherefore, come out from among them.
Did you see that?
Come out from among them and be ye separate,
saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And will be a father to you, unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord.
Verse chapter 7, verse 1 together. One to go.
Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness
in the fear of God.
Did you see that? Let us do what? Cleanse ourselves.
How do you cleanse yourself? Come out from among them. Walk in the spirit. Did you see that? Walk in the spirit.
And also it's perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Hallelujah. Perfecting holiness, there will be walking in the spirit, will be doing holy things.
Wow, why will you do holy things?
Because you are holy already.
Amen. Amen. Something we're going to look at, not in the spirit, but something that I hope to teach us. Holy, doing holy things.
Amen. Doing holy things of holiness. Amen. It's first of all, it's not a conduct first. It's a nature first. Then the conduct. What are you hearing me? It's a nature first. Then the conduct. It's that nature in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. So we're here.
Glory to God. So let's see. So the background of that instruction, So therefore, the background of that instruction of come up from among them, that's walking in the spirit. Did you see that? It's walking in the spirit. So for Moses was probably telling them he's walking in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So let's see what the order will be. The order will be first the spirit.
Right?
Yes, Lord.
And then to walk in our own. To walk in the spirit. So we need to explore that little by little.
Amen.
We need to explore that little by little to walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit.
So now,
where we go? Walking on?
You know, as a child of God,
we have the Spirit of God. And walking in your own is not difficult. You're just walking in who you are. As walking in your own. Walking as who you are.
Spirit of God.
Walking as who you are. And in the Spirit. Start walking like that.
Glory to God.
So you walk in your own.
Glory to God. So learn to walk in your own.
You know, for the believer, there is nothing like I'm speaking in tongues so much.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're going to spend time praying in tongues. Make sure you have it as a constant.
There's a practice that I have right from time. Anytime I catch myself. You know what I mean by you catch yourself? Not that you can be doing things and you don't catch yourself, like you don't recollect yourself. But anytime you catch yourself, like you come to consciousness that you are just quiet, doing nothing. Just catch again, not. Don't have that break. Let it be a constant.
The believer should be always speaking in tongues.
Make it a constant in your life. Don't be there, make it a constant in your life. That you're speaking in tongues. Amen. Get around holy things. Okay, hear me. get around spiritual things. We're going to explore it. Get around walking in the spirit more often. More often and always. Hope you're hearing me. More often and always. More often and always. Get around it.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. So, what has happened to us in the spirit is to the end, I will begin to divide it in our works.
In our works.
I will pick it out for 1 Corinthians 10. No murmur. Murmuring is a sin. It's not working in the spirit. No adultery. No idolatry. Amen. No tempting God. No hate. No strife. No division. That is not the coming of a believer. A believer mustn't live those kind of lives.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So on Thursday we'll take it up from here. Like I said to Ross, on Thursday we'll take a bit of a detour to look at, to put some things inside what we've done, like we did last week Thursday, right? We'll just fix in some things and then we'll take it up like that on Thursday the 29th. Hallelujah. I hope we've learned something. Let's just